the 10-minute section here. Like any normal alcoholic, he called me around 12 or texted me, and so it gave me about 6 hours to obsess about what I'm going to say. I'm a little nervous, I'm not going to lie. So anyways, here it goes. So this is my home group. My story started, I was born in Puerto Rico, got here when I was 7. I was raised in Carewood here in Tampa, been here ever since. So for me, my recollection of starting the first drink was maybe like my parents used to throw parties, like Halloween parties, and I remember being about 10, 12, you know, sneaking beers and, you know, stuff like that. But I didn't really start drinking until about junior high school. That's when it really took off. I started hanging around with all kinds of people, all kinds of groups. I would hang out with the burnouts, you know, the ravers, the hip hoppers, like, you know, and I would like be like a chameleon, you know, and I would always change my dialect, whatever group I was in. And I always found people that drank like me. I was always the guy that would drink like 2 shots or like a couple drinks before you go out, knowing that I was going to go out drinking. You know, I was just didn't know when to stop or never had enough. And I had a really high tolerance. I wouldn't pretty much get hangovers, so that really carried me on. I got lucky with that. I mean, I would get hangovers, but not like the normal person, really high tolerance. But anyway, it progressed a lot. So, you know, for me, what got me here was, you know, at first, you know, drinking starts off as magic, you know, and then you're just like, oh, it's great. And then it turns into medicine, you know, as you need it. And then it turns into misery. And then once you get to the misery, it never goes back to the magic. And you just keep chasing that magic. And that was me, always chasing it. My life, alcohol was just part of everything I did. For me, I masked it very well, so people didn't know. You know, it took me a long time to get here. Got here when I was 47. I'm 49. Yeah, I'm old. But, yeah, it took me a long time to get here because I was so good at masking it. I've always had a job. I stayed out of trouble. I seemed not to get caught. I got really good at hiding. You know, so for me, my progression just progressed really bad, really slowly. But it did, and then it wound me up here, which, you know, I'm so blessed that that happened. For me, it took hospital, rehab, IOP, sober living, more therapy, you know, just to get it all. But I grew up right here at AA and in this home group here. My rehab was Turning Point. One of my first meetings was here. It was right here in this room. And this is where I found my sponsor, because when you go to rehab, they always pressure you to get a sponsor like the first couple days so you can at least try to do the first 3 steps. So I came here, you know, just, you know, shot out looking for, you know, someone to be my sponsor. I was scared. And also, I'm from a Latin background. I was raised to, you know, be a man and be a macho and not, you know, let my feelings out. So it was really hard for me to open up to anybody. So anyways, I came here, and I said to myself, I'm going to look for the most aggressive guy to be my sponsor. You know, because I'm hard-headed. I'm very, like, meticulous, very hard person to get through. So I knew that from the start. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, I've got to find someone that's going to look for the meanest guy. So as soon as I got off, they call it the druggie buggy, but anyways, the bus from rehab, I got off, and then I see in the distance, I see these two guys that had the same haircut as me. One has like a long beard, and they were kind of like yelling at each other. So I'm like, man, all right, I think, you know, this could be good. So I watched them from afar for a little while, and I see one like talking like this, and the other one going and going back and forth, and I figured I'd asked the one that looked more aggressive. So I did. I came up to him, you know, saying, can you be my sponsor? All scared, you know, and said, yeah, sure. He looked at me up and down. I said, sure. And then he said, because I believe me, I look really shot out when I got here, just like everyone else. And by the way, I did think I was different too, which I found out I wasn't. But yeah, he said, here's the book, you know, read doctor's opinion and, you know, call me. And I did. And to my surprise, he answered the phone. Because, you know, I had a couple times where I did try to get people to sponsor me and they didn't answer. But anyways, that was bad experience with that. But anyways, I started a journey with him. He would come to my rehab and slowly he walked me through the steps. I really, when I say I grew up here in AA, I really did. I learned emotional intelligence, like self-will. I found out that I was selfish, you know, like, wow, you know. You know, I did a lot of damage in my life. You know, I've been with my wife since I was 15 years old. Growing up with her, I grew up with her and everything, and she used to drink too. She got sick in 2017, so she had her awakening, you know, so she stopped drinking and she got sober like completely before me, obviously, but I just, I kept going and I really masked it really well until I couldn't mask it anymore. I used to do everything with alcohol. I used to, I'm gonna mow the yard. I'm gonna wash the car. I'm gonna paint the house. You know, I was everything I did was with like, I'm gonna cook tonight. Everything was with like drinking. You know, and then have a shot. You know, whatever. Everything I did revolved around alcohol, and I could not imagine a life without drinking. And to me, I was horrified. I was like, oh my God! Not only do I have to let it out of the bag that I'm an alcoholic, everybody's gonna know. And once that happens, it's over. Then I'll be the guy at the party that everybody's going to hide their drinks from, which, you know, I don't know. But yeah. Now, 3 years into this, I'm a one-chip wonder. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. But I know one thing for sure. What I learned here is to feed my mind, you know, daily, reading, calling people. Today, my life's gotten really good, and I've gotten really comfortable. There was a point there where my wife, she kicked me out, you know, rightfully so. I would disappear for like 3 days and come back, be like, hey, I'm gonna go get gas, I'll be back. And then come back 3 days later, you know, like, who the hell would be with a guy like that, right? And so anyways, yeah. She had enough, and I went on another drinking binge, and I got to the point where I'm going to die or I'm going to get help. And us alcoholics, I believe that we always get to that point. It's either death or help, you know? So for me, that's where it got, because I was literally in the hospital. I had a stroke. The morning I had my stroke, I couldn't even breathe. I had to, like push my lungs to actually breathe. It was scary as hell. And thank God it was over in about an hour. I got everything back, but obviously it didn't scare me enough because I went right back out and drank like 3 days later, promising myself I wouldn't do that again. But here, I grew up here. I learned so much here through the big book and this home group right here. When I first got here, I saw like a group of 12 guys. They're all named Ryan, right? And so I met all these Ryans, and you know, and I met them, like, we went to this meat house and we were all like eating, and then there's this one guy, his name's Loftus, and he just out ate everybody. But anyway, they made me feel really welcomed here, you know. And by this home group here really saved my life, because just watching these guys, how they interact with each other and learn from each other and support each other, just watching and observing, just that helped me out tremendously. To be, you know, around men that are just like me and genuinely want to help me and want the best for me, you know, because I've always been this loner wolf kind of guy, you know, always like a chameleon, morphing into, you know, whatever group I was hanging out with at the time. And, you know, because I really knew how to mask my alcoholism, you know. I avoided jails and all that, getting caught. Be very paranoid looking in the rearview mirror, you know, like, you know, always looking around, peeping out the window and shit. But yeah, because of AA, I've gotten my life back. I got my wife today. Life is really, really good. I got to be careful because I do get complacent. I get lazy. I'm just like, shit, man. I want to watch a show, and I really don't feel like going to a meeting, you know? Like, you know, I'm going to eat steak, you know? Life is good today, but I just got to remember that I got to be here, you know? Because if I don't have this, I don't have anything. And this is where it all starts, through the big book, through the fellowship. And I've always learned, like, these thoughts do come in my head till today. I mean, sometimes they do just pop in and be like, hey, you know, a drink would be nice, you know? And then I'm like, and I heard this in the rooms, too. I heard this guy say, in the morning, Yana meeting, he's like, he goes, you're always going to have the first thought of drinking. The second thought is on you, what you do with that, you know? And being here in AA, I believe that all of us here sitting in this room today have two lives, you know? The second one starts when you realize you only have one life, you know? I heard so many things here in AA, you know, act your way in the right thinking. So many, I mean, I literally grew up here in wisdom. Like now people come up to me, my family, I have a cousin that's like kind of showing his ass, and then the uncles will come up, they're like, can you talk to him? And all of a sudden I'm the like a therapist of like, you know, alcoholism. I have a PhD in alcoholism, you know. But, you know, just 3 years into this, you know, I've seen so much and I've grown so much. I don't resent people or, you know, like I see it now. I like perception, like it's such a huge shift, you know, like I see people now and I believe that's through God, you know. It was easy for me because I was baptized and I always believed in God. But when I got here, like, to me, God really revealed himself. I'd seen some miracles here. I've seen people die. I've seen people succeed. I've seen it all, you know. But I believe, you know, and I've heard this too before, that even normal people need this. But I think this is the best place to be. And I just want to thank everyone for listening to me, and Isaac for calling me. And everyone, thank you. That's all I got.